The session will start with a talk on frugal algorithm selection, and the talk will be given by Erlen.
Okay, now you must hear me, okay? Hello everyone, today I will be introducing our new approach, which is cost-efficient solution for algorithm selection called frugal algorithm selection. So I am Erlen Kuş. I conducted with research with Özgün Nguyen and Ian, and then thanks very much Ian for this cool name called frugal algorithm selection. And we are from University of St. Andrews Department of Computer Science and Constraint Programming Group. So let's start. First of all, we need to understand the importance of algorithm selection, because since in the real world there are many problems and many algorithms to solve these problems. For example, in this table, you can see there are too many sorting algorithms, and according to Wikipedia, it says there are more than 30 sorting algorithms proposed in the literature. So as can be seen in the table, there are some advantages and disadvantages of algorithms. For example, for the best case, cycle sort and exchange sort performs worse than the other sorters, and for the average case, worst case, etc., etc. The main problem is all of the algorithms have different complementary strengths, and we need to find the best configuration for each problem classes and algorithms, because according to the Northfield-Lange theorem, there is no universal best algorithm can solve every instance of problem spaces in fastest way. That's why we need to find best configuration for different problem classes. So what can we use for this? So we can use machine learning for this. So let's formulate this algorithm selection in the machine learning area. Okay, we said we need to predict the best algorithm for each problem instances. So it means our training data, we can use instant features as training data, because we are looking for best algorithm for instances. So for the training data, we can use features of instances. So for the label part, as we said, we are looking for the best algorithm. So our label should be best algorithm for each specific instances. And for the classification part, you can use multi-class or pairwise classification. It doesn't matter. But in our experiments, we just use pairwise classification, because in the literature, it shows that pairwise classification shows better performance than other configurations. And this is the how pairwise classification works. As we said, our training data is instance features. Okay, we have instance features, and we have pairwise classifiers. Since the problem is multi-class classification, we are just dividing these into multi-binary classifiers. For example, in the first classifiers, predicts A1 and A2, which means for a given instance, will be A1 solve faster than A2, or A1 solve faster than A2 will solve faster than A1. For the second random forest classifier, we are just predicting between A1 and A3, and then so on. And then to convert this binary classification into multi-class classification, we are just using voting mechanism to select the best algorithm. So okay, we just formalize our problem. Okay, we said our training data is instance features, and then our label is best algorithm. Our classification type is binary classification, okay. So we can use machine learning without any issues, but there's a small issue. So small issue is expensive training, because to identify best algorithm for an instance, we need to evaluate all algorithms in algorithm portfolio for an instance to identify the best one. Let me show an example for you. So we have data set table. These data sets we use in our experiments, which is from different problem spaces, for example, ASP, CPMP, CSP, MaxSAT, and QBF. and they have different number of instances, different number of algorithms, and different number of features. Okay. So for the training data, we said we can use these features to find best algorithms for instances. So, okay, we evaluate all algorithms on these instances, and we got these results. For example, for the ASP Protasco, we need to spend almost 90 days to evaluate all algorithms on instances, so which is really resource-intensive and cost-inefficient approach. So, okay, it is not problem for us. Okay, we can wait 90 days, but we need to understand what causes this expensive training. So I will focus on these data set, MaxSet 12 PMS. Okay, this MaxSet 12 PMS includes six different algorithms, and they have different complementary strengths, as can be seen. And the top two algorithms performs four times better than the bottom two, we can say bottom three algorithms. Okay. So it means that top two algorithms are good solves for us and bottom three algorithms are best solves for us. But we need to still pay almost 80% of labeling cost for these bottom three algorithms. This is the main problem of the labeling expense in the algorithm selection, because we need to run both good and best solvers to identify which algorithm is the best for a given instance. So, okay, so we said, okay, labeling is really expensive for us, and then our first motivation becomes, can we find a suitable subset that can give same predictive performance when we are using full data, because we want to reduce labeling cost in our machine learning training. Okay, we just did some literature reviews, and then we saw that we can use active learning. And let me introduce what active learning is. Because active learning is a machine learning process which aims to reduce data size by using this approach. In the first step, we are just training our models with small labeled data set. And in the second step, which is called query, we are just selecting the most informative data points from unlabeled set, and we are just identifying them. After that, in the annotation or query step, in the labeling step, we are just labeling these instances by running algorithms on these instances and getting prediction results. And we are updating this labeled data set with labeled data, and then we are repeating this process until we have reached expected prediction performance. And since our approach mostly focuses on this part, I think that it is really important to show how query works and how labeling works. And I have an example table for you. So this example query table is taken from the same data set we have discussed. So we have model. Since it is a pairwise model, it includes two algorithms, an instance and uncertainty. So there are two things to consider in this table. The first one is what uncertainty is. Uncertainty is, we are using uncertainty to measure the informativeness of this instance model pairs. In other words, it is saying that this model is saying that this instance is really too hard for me. And then could you please label this for me so that I can predict harder instances in next step? It shows the difficulty of the instances, and then it means more difficult is more informative in active learning manner. And the second part is query size, because we said we need to do thousands of evaluations in our machine learning process? And the second question is, how many data points should we select in each iteration? And then that's why we are just using query size. And query size parameter for this, query size parameter should be fixed number. For example, you can say, I will just pick 10 or 20 instances in each iteration from the table. Or you can say, as we did, we are just picking 1% of this total query table. So, okay, we just said active learning can help us to reduce the data size. To prove this, we just conducted our experiments based on this. What is that? I don't know. So, for the data set, we just used 6 data sets from ASDIP, and then we just picked from different problem classes, different number of instances, different number of algorithms, and different number of features. And then we used 5 distinct sets for reproducibility, and we used 10K fold. And for comparison, in the instance selection method, we use active learning and random base. The main difference between active learning and random base is, in active learning, we are picking instances based on informativeness, but in the random base, we are just picking these instances randomly. We are not looking anything specific. And for the query size, we are just selecting 1% of the query table in each iteration. And we got the experimental results for active learning. And in the plots, x-axis shows that prediction performance comparison between selected subset and full data. One means we have same predictive performance, which is the desired situation for us. And y-axis shows that labeling cost of the selected subset. So one of the most important points is, from this experiment, we saw that there's no clear binary between random approach and active approach. And let's focus on just these data sets. And for the max set, that can be seen, uncertainty-based instance selection performs better than the random one. But for the max set 19, random selection performs better than the uncertainty one. So, okay, we said active learning helps us to reduce data set, but if we select instances randomly, we can reach similar performance. So, what is the problem? So, we found 2 problems in active learning. First one is uniform cost, and second one is expensive query. First one is active learning doesn't care labeling cost during querying. For example, active learning just focusing on if they reduce the number of data from 100 to 50, it is fine for active learning because it doesn't care labeling cost during selecting instances. And for expensive query, in the query table, we found that in the early iterations, query table includes too many expensive instances. That's why active learning in some of the data sets, active learning shows worse performance than random one. And then let me show this on the same query table. Okay, we said we have models, we have instances, and then we have information measurement. This is the query step. Okay, we said these instances are really informative for us, but for the labeling part, we saw that. Okay, for the labeling part, we just, our time limit is 1 hour, so, okay, for the first instance and model combination, we know the winner, algorithm 2. For the last one, we know the winner, algorithm 1. But the remaining ones are timeouted. So the problem is, we are just spending 2 hours for an instance for labeling, but we got nothing because we don't know which algorithm is winner. For example, for the second one, okay, this is timeout, this is timeout. So we cannot use this instance for training because, as I said, we don't know which algorithm is winner. So, okay, when there is our second motivation comes, before the labeling, can we eliminate these instances? So this is our second motivation because we know that there are timeouts, so, but before labeling, without any runtime information, can we eliminate these instances? So, okay, for the motivation section, we said, can we find smaller data subset that has same prediction performance? We said, okay, we can use active learning, but we saw that active learning selects uninformative and expensive instances in the query steps. So, okay, we said, how can we eliminate these instances during query? So, we just proposed timeout predictor to eliminate these instances. So, it is similar to pairwise classification, but there are some differences between it. We are just trained timeout predictor corresponding to each algorithm. And we are just using timeout predictors to eliminate timeouted instances in query step. For example, okay, we are still using the same instance features. And for the first model, it just predicts will A1 will be timeout for a given instance or not. For the second model, it is exactly the same. Will A2 will be timeouted or not for an instance, and it goes on. Okay, so we conducted some experiments by using this timeout predictor configuration. Let me show this. And we found that in some of the data set, it really improves our cost efficiency while without sacrificing prediction performance in some of the data sets. And in some of the cases, I couldn't see any improvement. And then let me show these two examples. For example, in the CPMP, there is no improvement while we are implementing timeout predictor in our instance selection method. But for the MaxSat PMS, it really helps us to reduce labeling cost while without sacrificing our prediction performance. So question is simple. Why in some of the data sets it improves performance, but some of the data sets the performance remains same? So, okay, we did some experiments on this, and then we saw that the question, the problem is same, labeling cost. Because for the time, if we apply timeout predictors in our query step, we need to still pay high labeling cost to label an algorithm as timeout, because we are still spending 1 hour for each algorithm on instances to identify does algorithm will be timeout or not for an instance. And let me show on this same query table with timeout predict information. Okay, we have same models and we have same instances and then we have same uncertainty information and then we have two additional information. First one is timeout information of the algorithm 1 and timeout information of algorithm 2. And then yes means this algorithm will be timeout on this instance according to predictions of timeout predictor. So we have eliminated some instance model combinations if both of the algorithms will be timeout according to this timeout predictors, because we know that if two algorithms will be timeouted, we gain nothing because we don't know which algorithm is winner. But the cases where one of the algorithms likely will be timeouted, but one of the algorithms will be finished in time, we know this algorithm will be finished in time, so we already know the winner. So, okay, we just eliminated these instances in our query table, and then our table becomes like this. Okay, let's try to label this. Okay. For the first one, still we know the winner. The last one, still we know the winner. So, but for the remaining ones, we need to still pay 2 hours for each instance. The main problem is in timeout predictor, it is really impossible to predict every possible timeout in the early steps of the query. So timeout predictors can do some bad predictions of for the timeout information. So it means that we still need to label this timeout instances, and then we still need to spend 2 hours for this model label combinations. Yeah, as I said, our motivation becomes from query part to labeling part, because we said, okay, we are able to eliminate some of the instances during query step, but we saw that we need to do some enhancements on the labeling part, because we cannot get rid of some of the time-outed instances in our query step. So this is our last motivation. Okay, we said we are looking for a smaller subset, and then we said we can use active learning, and then we saw that active learning tends to select uninformative and expensive instances during query, and then we focused on query part, and then we said how can we eliminate expensive and uninformative instances. We said, okay, we can use timeout predictor, and then we can eliminate some of the instances. Okay, it works some of the data sets, but problem is labeling part, because we know that there is no way to escape from timeouted instances during query steps. So we need to find a way to cost efficient labeling in our approach. So we propose dynamic timeout. So dynamic timeout is, we are just starting from a small time limit, and we are just running algorithms by using this time limit, and then if algorithm couldn't solve this instance after query step, we are just stopping, pausing this algorithm, and we are just evaluate our prediction performance of our models. And if there is no significant improvement in our predictions, we are just increasing our time limit. Dynamic timeout is important because if you pick your initial time limit is too small, it means that you need to spend too much time to find not timeouted instances, because if you select 1 second for running time, you will probably see tons of timeouted instances, because it is really important to select proper time limit for better system improvements. Okay, let's go back to dynamic timeout, timeout predictor query table. Okay, we said, okay, we need to eliminate this. And then in dynamic timeout, we said our initial time limit is 100 seconds. Okay, we just eliminate them. Okay, so time to label in. Okay, we just label them. Okay, so as can be seen, okay, nothing changed for the first instance model combination, but for the last one, since we had to spend 410 seconds for algorithm 2, by using dynamic timeout, we just spent 100 seconds to identify which algorithm is better. So we saw that if we use proper dynamic timeout, it can enhance our labeling efficiency. For the timeouted instances, as can we see, we don't have to spend 1 hour, because, okay, we know these instances are already timeouted, so it doesn't matter for us, because we know that these instances won't be finished 100 seconds, so it means that there is still timeout for us, nothing changed, but we converted our system in more cost-efficient way. So we have experimental results for dynamic timeout, and Dynamic Tama shows promising performance in most of the data sets. For example, let's focus some of the examples. Okay. For example, in the ASP Protocol score, by using dynamic timeout, we are able to reduce our cost, reduce our labeling cost around 90%. For example, it is similar for CPMP 2015. So it means that if we do some modifications on the labeling part as well, we can greatly improve the performance of our system by reducing label cost too much. So we have experimental setup for all configurations. We have four configurations for both uncertainty based instance selection and random one. And the first one is vanilla, means no timeout predict and no dynamic timeout. It means that we are just using baseline, we are just using them as a baseline. And second one is timeout predictor, and third one is dynamic timeout. And then the last one is combining dynamic timeout with timeout predictor. And for the all configurations, we saw that combining timeout predictor with dynamic timeout and dynamic timeout alone shows significant performance and outperform other configurations in these data sets. For example, in the max set, timeout with dynamic timeout predictor shows really good performance while compared to other configurations. It is same for max set 19 UCMS as well. It shows that if we enhance our labeling efficiency with query efficiency part, we can improve our system. So this is our last comparison. This shows the comparison between instance selection method, effect of the timeout predictor, and effect of the dynamic timeout. And the first one shows that there's no significant difference in the instance selection method. It means that if we select our instances randomly, it doesn't matter. So for the timeout predictor, it slightly improves our runtime and the cost efficiency without sacrificing the prediction performance. And the dynamic timeout, it leads to a significant improvement. So to sum up, we saw that algorithm selection is inherently costly because we need to run all algorithms on all instances to identify the best ones. And active learning is proposed to reduce the data size in machine learning, but it is not enough cost efficient for algorithm selection by itself. To make this uncertainty selection or active learning to make it more cost efficient, we propose timeout predictor in query step and dynamic timeout in labeling step based on active learning. And it shows that dynamic timeout with timeout predictor configuration outperforms other configurations, and we achieve 90% cost efficiency in our data sets. For the future works, we are planning to implement pre-solving schedule and cost-sensitive pairwise classification. And hyperparameter tuning, we are just trying to understand the effects of hyperparameter tuning, because if you do hyperparameter tuning for each step, your query table could be completely changed, so it can cause some problems in our approach. So for the evaluation scope, since we just conducted our research on 6 datasets from ASDIP, so for the real-time scenarios, we are planning to extend our work for the most datasets. So thank you very much for listening to me. If you wish, you can scan this QR code for our GitHub repository. But if you don't like to scan QR code like me, just you can use this link. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Questions? Yes.
All right, thanks. Nice work. So you mentioned in the dynamic dummy that you pause the algorithm. How do you do that? Like if you would do that for multiple instances and the use of a lot of memory, that might not be possible?
For the dynamic timeout, okay. For the dynamic timeout, we are just setting a time limit for multiple instances and algorithms. And we are just saying that if algorithm couldn't solve this instance in time, we are just using pause and resume mechanism to continue this algorithm for the next steps. So yes, it is possible to implement dynamic timeout for multiple instances. For example, for the next step, if you select same instance and same algorithm options, you can just continue to run same algorithm on instance by paying only time of the current iteration.
Okay. And now you did a timeout prediction, but then with dynamic timeout, you have multiple different timeouts. So have you considered predicting runtime instead of timeout percent?
It's a good question. So, okay, in the initial step, we are just, let's say we are using 100 seconds as a time limit, and then we are just saying, okay, these instances will be timeout in 100 seconds. So we are just predicting our time predictors based on 100 seconds. And the next iteration, if we increase time limit, we are just training completely new timeout predictors, let's say for the 200 seconds, because if we use same timeout predictors, and then since some of the label could be changed, if we use same algorithm and model pairs in the next iteration, so that's why we are just training completely new timeout predictors based on the new dynamic timeout.
All right, thanks.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm just wondering if the timeout prediction problem, let's say, can be reduced to an halting problem from a decision point of view?
It is a good question. Could you please say me again?
The fact that we want an algorithm that is able to predict the fact that at some point an algorithm will time out, does it can be reduced to the halting problem, which stands that we want to, let's say, decide if an algorithm will stop?
Yes, we can have some maybe additional conditions for the timeout predictors. For example, since there are many options, instead of timeout, for example, you can use some real-time predictions instead of using timeout, or you can add some additional constraints for the timeout, so yes. But I think you need to add some additional constraints for timeout predictors to convert a new problem space. So any other questions?
Yeah, maybe the last one if I can ask. Did you compare your prototype with standard algorithm selection tools like Autofolio that are not built under this frugality aspect, but which I think are also quite efficient to come to a good prediction in a short time?
Okay. So for our approach, I mean multiple random forests for pairwise binary classifiers is based on the Autofolio solution. So as a baseline, we are just using this similar approach. So it means yes, on some extent, because in Autofolio, they have many lesser classifiers, such as logistic regression or random forest, etc. And then in our approach, we are using Autofolio's hyperparameters as well and random forest parts. So it is indirect comparison between Autofolio's algorithm selection, but for the remaining, let's say, algorithm selections, we haven't tried it yet. Okay.
Right. We're running out of time, so let's thank
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.